Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff here, General Manager of WSCIRO, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, the other General Manager of WSCIRO, and here he is to say hi.
Good evening, folks. How are you?
Well, you know, today we're nearing the end of August. Can you believe it? And right now, I know that in other parts of the country, our beautiful children are back at school, and of course, I will be sat and reset in my bus job the first week of September. So I have a couple of days left, and then I'm back to business again as usual. But we will be doing ministry from time to time, and we will be. God is promoting everyone in the Holy Ghost to those who are ready in this season to prepare, and he is giving us holy expectation. And I just hope and pray that everybody has been faithful to what God has been calling them to in this season of preparation and rest. You know, there's the rest, and then there's the preparation, there's the rest, and there's the preparation, there's the rest, and then there's the preparation, you know? And, God's been real faithful to us as we, join him in the heavenly adventure of resting and preparing. Kind of like sowing and reaping, right? Sowing, the farming process is for those who follow Farmville, and then maybe you own your own farm. We have to, in order to, make preparation to sow your seed, you have to plow the land, you have to plow the fallow land, and then, sometimes some people have to fertilize the soil in certain regions, but you plow the fallow land to get it ready to receive the seed, and then you plant the seed and whatever fruit it would yield, and of course you want to plant the seed that will produce the best harvest, and you have to pray it at the right time. And the most what?
And the most profit.
Right, and, we're talking farm language, it's the most profit, as far as fruit-wise and vegetable-wise and produce-wise, but then things in the spirit, you want to yield a harvest, in the spirit as well. So that's why the Lord uses these wonderful analogies and metaphors, but I just want to talk today about the benefits of prayer and gratitude and appreciation, I just felt like today the Lord was releasing today on Sunday, August 30th. He was releasing in the Holy Spirit like. An attitude of appreciation. Before we talked about the attitude of gratitude, but appreciation for God's people, spread throughout the earth. Let's just say, he gave me an experience, and he brought me into that realm today. An experience years ago when I was shopping in the supermarket, and he was, it was a time in my life where I was really questioning the Lord regarding the love of, the love of people and moving out of the fear of man, but at the same time, not really trusting, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, because, let's just face it, we're all walking different paths in the Holy Ghost. We all have certain things that the Lord wants to prune us of, but when we're not available to the pruning process, it can get really, 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 really ugly and stinky and everything, It's not good. But the Lord brought me back to a remembrance when I was walking in Shaw's. He wanted to show me how he pours out his love anew and fresh for a people, because I asked him, I said, I don't want to see people the way that I have been, brought up to see or conditioned to see. I want to see people the way you see, because I don't trust the way that, you know, I see people, you know, because I can psychologically analyze them because of my psychological training and, you know, and then, of course, my experience in the area, you know, always being in the victim role at the time. I'm not there anymore, praise the Lord. But anyways, you know, it's like I knew that about myself. I knew enough to ask. You know, I knew enough to observe the, what do you call it? This is, I think a lot of Christians need to see this and they need to feel comfortable about it. They need to hear this for themselves. I had to really feel confident and comfortable of looking at that weakness in myself and how I see others, okay? And, you know, a lot of it was justified, but not justified if I wanted to continue in the things of the Holy Spirit the way that the Lord wants me to, okay? So I had to, like, really, really do some self-examination. Some people call it introspection, but the spiritual term is self-examination. And I just really had to really be honest with myself and look myself in the mirror and just really take a good, hard look at myself and how, you know, I respond to, you know, God and people, you know. There's lots of that goes hand in hand. And so I was like, you know, looking at, like, Lord, I just want to just love, you know, people. I want your vision for a people group. You know, you may call me to love, a certain people group because you want to release a ministry. I want to just be able to know. I want to be able to discern. I want to be able to move in that, okay? So then I'm going to Shaw's, you know, a supermarket in New England. There's a whole chain of Shaw's. And I'm thinking, I really would like some Chinese food, okay, just after I prayed this. And then I'm like, I just came out of the clear blue, just thinking about Chinese food, you know. And I'm like, I really would like some egg rolls, you know. And then every time I saw a Chinese person in the store, I was like, I really, really love Chinese people. I'm like, I think they're so cute, Lord. I said, I just love the way you love Chinese people. the way that you made them and, you know, whatever you do with the Chinese people, well, just bless the Chinese people because they're wonderful people. And it was so funny. It was like, I never got so excited about, you know, Chinese people. You know, and, you know, I never had a problem with Chinese people, but it was heightened. There was a heightened awareness for God's love falling upon the Chinese people. That was the Lord speaking through my spirit, saying, you really love the Chinese people. This was in the 90s before revival took off in China. And I'm like, you know, like, bless the, and then I was like, bless the Chinese nation. and it was so funny. It was like, you know, and I just wanted to tell every single Chinese person that day in short that God loves them with everlasting love. And he's, you know, he was doing something. But see, you know, the Lord wanted to release that because that's what he was doing right there in the now, in the spirit. And I had asked him for that. And I think many people, you know, who are discerning ministry, they're called, you got to stop asking, like, you know, to be on themselves and start asking them to, you know, the Lord to, you know, give a people, you know, to for them to, you know, for him to, like, love on, you know, reveal his love to them for a people that he wants to call his own and things like that. And then the Lord said, he's been doing this with me with special needs people. And then, you know, especially when I was a young college student getting out of college, I never realized that I was going to be in this special ed thing for life. I mean, I thought it was only a season. You know, I had my two children and then I was a mental health counselor. But I really got a chance to, like, know, really understand the life and the heart of people who have special abilities and who are struggling with, you know, other areas that need to be strengthened. And so in my latter part of my life, I have two other special needs children. And, you know, then the autism started happening with my son. You know, but today it was so funny. The Lord was telling me I need to go visit my son Joshua because of something I'm about ready to share with you in a minute. Okay, Joshua, you've seen him in the pictures for those who follow me on Facebook with the hand of God coming upon him, taking off the dark ring around his neck, and we'll talk about the meaning of that, and putting on a ring of light because that had perplexed me. You know, I've been studying this picture and praying on and studying it for like 2 years, you know, 2 to 3 years. And the Lord gave me an answer this week, an answer, I should say, from Massachusetts, from New England, the answer. But anyways, well, he's the answer. He's the way, he's the answer. So to life's questions, someone needed to hear that. But anyways, I was in church today with my husband, and, well, the Lord's my husband, with my earthly husband, who the Lord blessed me with. And, you know, I had just, like, we had come in there a little later than we wanted to. But, you know, we were sitting in the back of the church, and I just noticed that we have, in our church, an increase in number of families from the African nations, directly from Africa. And, you know, they come in with the families, and they're just so, like, the families are so well-behaved. The father is so gentle. And, you know, the mother is so serene. It's like watching, like, the Holy Family all over again. And, you know, and then I was, every time I saw this, and today when I saw this, the Lord was, like, ministering to me in my spirit. He said, tell that father over there that his sons are going to grow up to be fine young men after him. Because I saw these two children before, and, you know, they were, like, trying their best to sit still and take in what was going on, with the service and things like that. So this time they were right in the back of me. You know, I think the Father was trying to have some patience, but he did pretty good, and the Lord just wanted me to encourage him. But I noticed, I had this thing this morning before I went to church. More, I was just thinking about, like, you know, fathers and Father Heart of God, and, you know, how the Lord wants to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And all of a sudden, I got, you know, this man was in my mind, you know, this African man, and then I saw him in church. I'm thinking, God, oh, wow. He said, God bless them. God is, you know, putting a blessing. You know, like, God loves is loving the African fathers, you know. There's a special grace on African fathers from Africa. And you know, it's like the father's love is being poured upon the fathers from Africa in a very special way. And, of course, there was a priest that was doing mass. He was from Africa, too, an African priest. But he wasn't necessarily, you know, he wasn't a black African. He was a white African. But God was, like, however he was moving through this African priest, it was touching Africa, or that section of the section of people that are from Africa that are in this country. And it was like, you know, and I'm like, and so I asked the million-dollar question today, Lord, why are you blessing the, what's so different with fathers from Africa as opposed to anybody from all over the world? And then he showed me the different, you know, blessings upon different people groups. And I thought that was so neat. But he said this about the African nation and the African men. Okay, he said that he's released a double portion of the Father Heart of God on the African nation, okay, on the men, because they have been orphaned so long. There's been a spirit of orphans for so long, and the fathers that are physical fathers that are there that receive him, you know, he's imparting a special blessing. And that's going to raise up, you know, strong African men after his own heart right now. So I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. And, you know, I thank you, Lord, that you're using Africa as an example of grace and humility as you're imparting this throughout the body of Christ. And I thank you, Jesus. And then, you know, and I thought that was neat as I was driving to visit my son. And of course, he is an African father that's been appointed to watch my son to be his counselor at Evergreen, and this is amazing. The Lord said he was going to do that, you know. And you know, we were able to pray with him today, you know, that the Lord would just do what he needs to do. But I'm going to share with you a vision that I had regarding what the Lord was revealing to me about Joshua. This will probably help many people who are raising special needs children right now. Okay, it's going to increase your faith. So, you know, put on your seatbelts and let's go for that ride on this journey we call faith. But before then, I just wanted to share with you what the Lord was wanting to do. And this is what he wants to release in the body of Christ, the gift of edification and encouragement, because that's going to really, that's going to open wide the harvest, and the heavens are going to open wide. And the Lord is saying that, you know, every people group on the face of the earth has a gift, you know, to contribute to mankind. And too many people, especially in the United States, have been looking at the imperfections. And the Lord is saying that's wrong. You need to look at the gifts, and you need to start edifying and encouraging the gifts, and everything else will come along. Now, it was so funny. He brought me to the American Indians. He said, you love the American Indians, and he's instilled within their DNA, okay, the gift of the sacredness of life, you know, the gift of informing people about the sacredness of life, all right? And also that people from India are more about the presence of God. There is such a hunger within their DNA to, you know, be in God's presence. You know, that's why there's been, you know, they've been seeking after the many gods, but once they receive him, they come, they bring in the presence of God. They understand the presence of God. They come into it. You know, they just bask in their they're basking in the presence of the Lord, and they're just being in the presence of the Lord. And then the Lord was showing me about the Jewish people. They have the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they're blessing carriers. You know, they're blessing the face of the earth. You know, with it in their role here as a people group. And then the Lord was showing me about Ireland, how many of the families in Ireland have rich histories of the prophetic. Okay, some people may even call them the lost tribe of Dan, connected to Israel, but their gift more or less is defending the widows and orphans in the social justice realm. And you see this in the work of Bono from YouTube. He's not the only one, but there's, you know, many, you can hear this in the songs, of many Irish folklore. And so you hear this, and you see it. So, and they're seers too. The Lord was showing me to get the seeing gift as well. It doesn't mean that other people groups don't. It's just it's strong and it's very present, you know, in the Irish culture. Also within this is a funny one. When what about the Mexicans and the Spanish population and the Hispanics and the Latinos? What about them? Because they got the gift of celebration. they celebrate, enjoy, you know. So in the harvest, you know, God is going to use the Spanish people, and you know, the Brazilian people, all the Hispanic people, the Hispanic populations, the different, you know, the different factions, to bring in the air of celebration in the harvest. So I was just, it was just amazing. And of course, you know, we in America are this melting pot, and yet we have this thing over us that we need to look at more the differences and to keep these divisions alive. And that's not what it's all about, folks. It's all about, like, you know, edifying the different people groups and acknowledging and respecting them and having the Holy Spirit. And thank you, God, for every single one of these groups, all of our group, you know, the people groups that he's formed by his right hand you know, to as they get redeemed, to bring in the kingdom of God. This is what the purpose is of everyone coming together and understanding their role, understanding their destiny as a group. And then there's the individual, too. And, of course, then there's the denominations. But all these spring forth from families here upon the earth. And that's why you've heard me both so much about the different ethnic backgrounds within my bloodline, you know, and it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it's like a potpourri, and I just love it because the Lord He gives me a vision for each person, you know, each people group, because it's within my bloodline, and so I just thank God for that, you know what I mean? I just thank God for that. But I want to get back to Joshua. We got 32 minutes left, so we've established the Joshua Connection prayer group, you know, because of, you know, the visitation of the Lord upon Joshua as it came out and manifested itself, as the Lord manifested his presence through the appearance of his right hand over the heart and shoulder of Joshua. And if you go, you become our friend on Facebook, you'll be able to see that. I think I might even be able to put it on the blog here on Blog Talk Radio, too, for those who are not part of the Facebook community. But one of the things that I have been praying on and maybe even lamenting at the time was the fact that, all right, I believe that this is the hand of the Lord in some of his sleeve. And, you know, and he has taken what appears to be a black ring from the neck of Joshua, which, you know, Joshua, for the most part, chooses not to speak. He spoke before, and he's choosing not to speak. But, you know, and the Lord's slipping on this white ring around his neck. Now, it was a white ring of light. I had been asking the Lord over and over and over again until finally this week, this past week, since we attended Kingdom Strategies in Beverly, at the Bridge Church in Beverly, and also the Metro West last Sunday, John Paul Jackson was speaking. John Paul Jackson actually was teaching and preaching on, he was preaching and teaching on healing and the miraculous and signs and wonders, and why some healings and delayed and miracles don't happen. And it all, you know, came down to the spirit of unbelief. And he was describing it as like a dark force and a substance. And I'm thinking, and at the same time that he was describing that, the Lord showed me, it's a vacuum. It sucks the blessings away from the person. It's like, you know, it creates a void. I'm thinking, there's a void. There's a void around Joshua. Because the Lord brought me back to the picture about the dark ring. And, you know, because I could sit there and think, God's going to do it. He's going to do it. But it requires our faith, okay? Requires our faith to move mountains, to move the mountains of our thoughts, of our belief. And so, you know, I, at one point, the Lord had been chastising me about the unbelief months ago. But this unbelief was still around Joshua. And I was asking the Lord, why is this spirit of unbelief persistent? Whose unbelief is it? Okay, and the Lord said it's Joshua's unbelief. And that he fears, he's a seer, and he fears being out there in the world. And I said, and when he told me that, I'm like, I don't blame him, Lord. I said, but we know, but he has a destiny, and we need to, you know, my prayer is that you would release Josh into his destiny. But what do I need to do? That was my other question. So I'd ask the Lord this. And he showed me what to do, but I still wasn't satisfied. I needed revelation. I needed something. I wanted to find out what heaven is doing. What heaven is doing and how they're doing it. Because, you know, Joshua can't free himself from unbelief and the spirit of fear, but the Lord can. And so I wanted to find out how and when and where he's going to do it. Okay, that, I needed those questions answered. I did. And so, of course, I spoke in tongues. I did the conventional things I was supposed to do. I examined my heart, but the Lord was showing me this is all about where Joshua is right now, okay, and where he wants him to be to receive this healing. So I had reminded him of a promise that he told me when Josh was a baby. He was 18 months when the symptoms were starting to manifest, that he showed me Joshua in the future, and he also showed me this thing called autism that I didn't really know that much about. And then he said that he was going to put the right people around him to understand him, to teach him. He wanted to teach, work out a spirit of obedience through this autism. And that he was going to take the shackles off of Joshua at the appointed time. He was going to begin to move when he was 8. And I thought the healing was going to happen, complete healing was going to happen at 8. But no, it was a gradual thing. Certain things had to happen at certain ages for some reason. It had to be in stages at certain ages. It's just the way that the Lord wanted it. And so now he's going to be 18 in January, and I'm thinking, 22 is around the corner, and I when his medications weren't working, I thought, the medication's going to work. The Lord says, I don't want to use the medications. I don't want to use it as a Band-Aid. I want to heal him. So he allowed the medications not to work. And so in between the medications not working, these extreme behaviors of destruction would happen. And to the point where I thought that, these evil spirits were going to try to take Joshua's life like they almost did a couple of years ago. So, heaven had intervened and, let the doctors know what was going on and the nurses where Joshua lives. And so the other thing was that there was prayer warriors around him at different times. And that brings me to now. So, when I was giving thanks, the Lord showed me to, bring this DVD down there. And first of all, call Josh, find out if Josh can receive visitors, if he was in the mood to receive. And they said yes, but he was just having a hard time with itchy skin. And they had just taken him off psychoneuroleptics, which, is really, really heavy-duty psych meds. And they put him on Ativan for anxiety, which, we know it was spiritual. And, of course, this causes some degree of inflammation. So, before I called, I saw that Joshua was itching his skin because, there's a communication between me and my son when he's not home. The Lord just shows me what's going on with him. So then I called to find out what's going on with him before I come down. Does he need anything? He said, well, he's a little itchy, and, it bothers him when it happens. He'll itch it. He'll scratch something until, because of the compulsion of scratching, until he digs a hole in himself. So I didn't want that to happen. And so I said, well, let me just the Lord show me something about getting him a vino bath, like a vino of the oatmeal stuff. So that it helped him in the past. So anyways, I did. I went to go get that, and I brought it down. But I also bought this DVD that I've been playing. I just started playing on YouTube. It's The Adventures of Donkey Ollie. Yes, this is so wonderful for children. It has a lot of biblical teaching in it. It's a lot of singing, and it's healing. You know, I was getting healed as I was listening to it and watching the DVD. And the Lord was saying that he's going to use this to minister to Joshua. So I brought Donkey Ollie with me, I brought the Bible with me, I brought communion with me, and I brought the holy oil with me, and I brought Jesus. That was number one. He was number one. I brought Jesus with me, okay? And then we were watching the DVD. I didn't, overwhelm Joshua all at once. I get into the house, and he's got this helmet on, And I said to Josh, I said, oh, now you got this helmet on. Where's your motorcycle? But anyways, it was, you know, the helmet, it had the shield on either side. He kind of looks like a cross between, when wears it between a football player and somebody who's about ready to ride a motorcycle. And he had his mitts on, and so they give it to him when, you know, they allow him to take, they don't give it to him, they allow him to make the choice if he thinks that, you know, he's going to scratch himself, you know, till he hurts himself. But the Lord was showing me that it was, he was wanting to wear those because he was fearful of man. He had a fear of man, and I saw that. And then I just made a mental note of it, and as I was talking, you know, as I was making a mental note of it and watching the DVD with him and praying, I was talking to his counselor, who I found out was a born-again Christian from Africa. And the Lord was putting that heart of gratitude in me before I went down to Evergreen to prepare me for, to prepare me to pray with Josh for his miracle and for him, this person to agree with me. And it was so funny. It was like this was a strong thing that the Lord wanted to do with those who are fathers from Africa. And whatever, you know, in his healing mantle. And only the Lord knew what was going to happen in the afternoon when he put that gratitude in me, you know. So watch out for anybody, you know, who is out there, you know, if God puts you on my heart and I feel this gratitude, watch how he moves in your life. There's something supernatural about that. Every time I've been open to receive his gratitude for people, as I begin to pray for them, that God starts moving in signs and wonders. It's amazing. So when I get there and I'm talking to Josh's counselor, he was saying he really likes this DVD. It really is a wonderful witness to the Lord. He's a born again Christian. I said, well, yeah, we know the person who produced this DVD. We met him in Arizona. We went to God's Media Army, and then he began to talk about, you know, how he was discerning over Joshua because he's seen people in his country in Africa be healed of autism. Isn't that something? You know, they have their behaviors, and then people would just pray over them, and then they would they get better. Whatever that was around them spiritually would leave. And I began to witness to that because, I was spiritually attacked when I was pregnant with Joshua when he was in my womb. And even though I prayed for 9 months of my pregnancy, which I think, you know, definitely, you know, it protected Joshua, but then the trauma of the abuse that I had suffered spiritually because of, you know, being in a very, very, very bad marriage, which was very abusive. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about my husband now. This is former years ago. And so what happened was I forgave him, but you know, the scarring, it just took time to heal. But what the point I was trying to make is that I was sharing this with the this person from Africa that the Lord said he was going to put in Joshua's path when Joshua was 8 years, you know, when Joshua was a baby. God would be used in a very instrumental way for healing. And so all of a sudden, like, the Lord is saying, this is the person, and he used to pray with you for Joshua. And I said, oh, wow. And so so we had other people from Africa a couple of years ago, but for this finishing touch, the finishing touch. So. You know, as I was talking to him about the different things that God has been doing for Josh as he prayed and, you know, and Josh's battle, he got pretty interested in the spiritual side, you know. Because he said what he doesn't like is when he works with these kids and all the people do is prescribe medications, which a lot of them need to just have hands laid on them and prayed for. So I gave him permission. I said, you can pray with my son anytime, but prior to that, you know, I had to tell him about what the Lord was showing me, which I'm about ready to release to you. So after the Kingdom Strategies conference, I'm going before the Lord in total frustration and asking him, like, you know, I need to receive results. I said, I cannot believe that you're God and you only allow a human part way. I said, it's like, Lord, it's like your hand is in a picture and it's stuck in suspended animation. I said, I want to see your hand do something. And so then he showed me about Josh, like I said earlier. All right, so what gave me the hope? What gave me the hope, because I was at this point, I was just too tired to pray over Joshua, because I said, this is a work for God. And it was. You know, it was a work for God. And I fell asleep that night, was Sunday night, the same night as the day that we were in that intensified worship at Metro West Bridge Church, John Thomas's church. And just before waking up, I fell asleep on my prayer couch in my living room under Joshua's picture and Jesus's picture. And what happened was all of a sudden I was brought to this house, and there was this person named Jordan, and I figured in the dream, the only Jordan I know is this other person that I used to drive, but this was Angel Jordan, because she looked like another person. So then all of a sudden he hands me Joshua, and Joshua in the dream was a baby. I'm like, well, Joshua is almost 18. He's not a baby. And he said, this is baby Joshua. And I'm like, baby Joshua? And just before I could analyze that, all of a sudden, the angel baby boy, the little boy Jordan, opened the door. He said, you know, now I want you to give the baby a bath. I'm like, where are we going to give the baby a bath? And the door opened into the backyard, which turned into a huge ocean. And then I look up in the sky, and Jesus is hanging there in suspended animation. He was like between, when I say animation, he was suspended between the heaven and the water. He was like, and he had a white robe and a red sash on. And then this hand, the same hand that was in Joshua's picture, or Joshua's photo, the hand of God, was like on my right coming into the ocean. And they took the baby from my hand, and I'm in the ocean now, treading water, but I wasn't getting wet, and I don't know how that happened, but we know it's in the spirit, and the ocean was very, very blue, and I heard the Jordan call it the waters of life, so I knew that when I heard that, I'm like, oh, I'm in the spirit here. That was like a marker, in the dream vision. And they took baby Joshua, and it looked like they were baptizing, but I'm like, he's already baptized. But what they were doing is they were dunking in the whole body, like, you know, having him go in and out of the water, like, you know, all the way in, and then up, take a breath, all the way in again, and up until he takes another breath, and all the way in again. I'm like, how are they going to drown him? And then I'm thinking, I'm worried about this as being his mother. And then they did it again, and then the Father and Jesus gave him to me, and he said, now you do it, okay? And I'm like, do what? I said, I don't want to drown him. So then as I took Joshua and I put him in the water again like they did, but this time I was seeing like his blood leave, and as the water is like going through his nostrils and his whole body, and again, I'm doing it one more time, and again, I did it like three times, like they did, and then it was time to wake up. And I'm like, where was I? You know, I'm still coming to. I'm shaking inside. I knew it was a vision. I knew it was I was with the Father and with Jesus. And I'm like, was that real? Did this really happen to Joshua? And I believe it did, because he takes us outside of space and time. and he enters into our time, he's God. He can do anything, you know. So he brought Joshua back to when he was a baby, and you know, to where this to where, you know, the abuse happened, you know, with his father and things like that, where the trauma was brought into his life. And so, you know, it's like I had this anticipation, but it still was like, well, what's my part? You know, like as I'm, you know, in my awakened state, like I know I need to do something, but I know I can't just put him in the water from where he is. You know, Lord, what's going on? Are you doing this? Are you about ready to do this? And he said yes, and he said yes. And he said no, and then he said yes. I'm like, what do you mean? So that's when he showed me about what was preventing Joshua from Stephen, but then we dealt with that. And the other thing was, it was more like I just had to go with communion. Because that was, I got a strong sense, I have to give him Holy Communion now. I have now so he can receive this. So he can receive this miracle. And I did, you know, but I had to go in the spirit of gratitude. I had to go with encouraging words, and that was in the form of DVDs, because that was, the DVDs and videos are a good way for autistic kids to receive. And so a lot of times parents don't realize this, but they give their kids junk food as far as videos are concerned. But, you know, this is autistic kids. They learn through the visual. A lot of them are seers. So I just put one and one together to come up with two. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to bring this anointed video with me, this DVD, because this whole week the Lord is having me watch that Donkey Ollie thing. And I learned so much. And I'm thinking, this would be really good for people with child autism and for children. And I said, this would be good for Joshua. So I took that with me, and he took over it. He loved it. He loved the songs and everything, and it was just really something. And then so I prayed over him, and we tie him by the spirit of fear, and, you know, Lord told me to tell him that he doesn't have to fear man anymore. He will be his protector, but that he's got a glorious life ahead of him, and he's going to be doing things for the Lord, and I'm praying over many people, and they're going to get healed. So the Lord had me release the fivefold apostolic anointing on him, and I gave him the anointing of the priesthood by putting oil on his head and the different things that the Holy Spirit was showing me. And then the Lord showed me, you know, that he's releasing him into the prayer ministry. So I usually, on you know, every other Sunday, I go to the nursing home and I pray over the children there. But the Lord wanted me to see Joshua today and pray with him. But prior to that, I had to call my friend Rosie to tell her that I wasn't able to make it, but, you know, because I'm really limited as to where I can drive. So I, you know, will go and pray over Josh. And she goes, why are you going to pray over this little girl, pray for this little girl named Melissa, who's, you know, who has to have hospice. So I'm like, all right. I said, Josh, all of a sudden I was thinking, Josh and I will pray. I'm like, I'm saying with them. After I said that, I'm like, is Josh really going to want to pray? That was my thing, because I'm always thinking that Josh won't want to pray. And so I had to get out of that thinking realm, because the Lord was doing some activation too. So I went there, and after, you know, I prayed with Joshua, and we prayed with Joshua, and I encouraged his counselor to continually pray for him and with him and ask him to pray for him too. The Lord just told me, now ask Joshua to accompany you in praying for Melissa. So I did. And he got right into it. Like, he's been praying for 20 years. Well, he's going to be 18. Praying for 16 years. and he was really concentrating. He closed his eyes. You know, he put his hands together, and he was, like, really praying, real, 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 real hard. And I, you know, I just laid my hands on him, and, you know, he's shaking his head, yes. You know, and the peace of the Holy Spirit was going through him. It was like spirit prayer was going through him. And this is what the Lord wants to do with many, many of his wonderful people who the world, you know, says they're useless because they have special needs or hardships or, you know, disabilities. God's hand is on them, and he's going to take what the world calls foolish, and he's going to confound the wise. And Joshua, you know, the Lord showed me Joshua's spirit is very much alive, more alive than many believers that have, you know, been believers for so many years, more alive than his flesh. And I'm like, oh. And then I thought about it, as I was driving, I'm like, oh, that's a good place to be. I was like, his flesh, you know, is like, you know, all it was consumed by the autism and everything, and, you know, the soul area. And the thing that's really very much alive and very strong is his spirit. I'm like, can't be that. So, you know, God showed me how to really work with Josh and what he's going to do. It seemed like he was so much better after he stepped out of his, out of himself and assisted me in praying for this wonderful child, Melissa. It's like a gift from God. So, you know, our children are a gift from God, and it's up to us as to how we go about pointing them in that direction. But we have to ask the Father. We have to be led by the Father, because he's their Father too. And he made them, and he knows what he has for them. And he's just looking for willing parents to, you know, get out of the driver's seat and let the Lord be the driver. So, Jeff, is there anything you want to say and pray? My husband's just here to give me some support, you know, with the presence of the Lord on him. So, Father God, we just thank you in Jesus' name. It's about 6 minutes left. And Lord, we just ask that you just continually bless and blast, oh, yeah, the listening audience with your love, so that, Lord, they can be ambassadors of your love everywhere they go. That, Lord, that they will not see differences as hindrances, but that as weaknesses, and focus on that more, but they would focus more on the blessings, the original blessings that you have had for each people group. And Lord, that you would pour into your people the encouraging words from heaven that would be the difference, that would make the difference. And we just thank you, Lord, that would bring in the unity, it would bring in the kingdom, it would bring in the miracles, it would bring in the signs and wonders. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Lord, anyone out there right now who has, who is raising, children that, you know, need more care than the other children, oh, Lord, just give them hope. Give them hope for a bright future. And, Lord, give them not only hope, but give them, Lord, a very strong prayer life, Lord, and let them know how much you love them. Lord, send your spirit to them in a very powerful and unusual way. And we thank you. Lord, let them see their child as you see their child, Lord. Remove the mountains of their thinking out of the way. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, help their unbelief and increase their faith to raise these children. And my husband wants to say something.
And for the fathers, I challenge you to be persistent in your involvement with your children. Do not run away from them and hide behind your jobs and leave all the laborious work of caring for the children, even your other children who don't have the degree of special needs, even just growing up together. Face the challenge. Guys, face the challenge in faith and believe that God will strengthen you to do the right thing for your wife, for your other kids, for the special needs child in your life. And you have to take God serious, because God wants to give you the power to take care of the children he allowed you to cooperate with him in bringing into the earth. Therefore, that's what makes children a special gift. And the answer is not abortion. It's life and long-term support of those kids that you cooperated with God and your wife to conceive.
And Lord, show these wonderful parents your glory, and We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shikata Mashanda Mashanda. We thank you for your umbrella of love coming over this whole nation. We thank you, Jesus. And Lord, although there are people that want to try to take God out of the nation, Lord, we ask that you do a deep inner work in the hearts of your people so that they know that you can, even this, in this attempt to take God out of the Constitution, that, Lord, you're the God that will take a resonance in the human Constitution. It's not so much the Constitution of the United States, it's the Constitution of the human spirit. So we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for that revelation. We thank you, Lord. It's not so much the Constitution of the United States, it's the Constitution of the human spirit. We don't need a piece of paper to tell us that God is living in us and through us and working on our behalf. So we just thank you, Lord. But we know that as you deal with your people one by one, and you raise up a holy nation because of the transformation of the heart, that we will truly have a holy nation in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. Well, we are nearing the end. We have 2 minutes left, but I believe that to God be the glory. Continue to pray for Josh, and he will be praying for you. And he gave me a big hug and a kiss before I left. And it was amazing because about a month ago he wanted to bite my head off because he was getting off the medication, off, you know, he was withdrawing from the psych meds and stuff. So I'm just praying that the healing continue and that he received, he will continually, that the Lord will continually manifest. Make manifest the miracle in Jesus' name, so that Joshua can be praying over many people from different lands. Thank you, Lord. And he can probably do it from wherever he is, but God, you only know. You know how you made Josh, so thank you, Jesus. And everybody. Okay, well, we got to go, and we love you, and until next time, be blessed. Bye-bye.